Exodus chapter 3, we come into the account of Moses getting called by God to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And what a task for the man, all right? As we know, when you figure out the leadership responsibilities of Moses, but just the food that those people had to have, just the shoes and everything that had to be provided. Of course, God provided all those things, and yet Moses, he was in charge of everything. And there for a while, he wasn't delegating anything, and of course, his father-in-law Jethro decided, you know, gave him some advice and said, listen, you got to delegate some of these things, and so he did. And but I want you to see tonight, here, and as we'll start here, I want you to see, we'll see quickly tonight, four excuses that Moses had here that he gave to the Lord, and the Lord called him to lead the children of Israel out. So we have the burning bush experience here in verses 1 through 10 here, and then we come down to verse 10. It says, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. God tells him this. Here's the call right here. He says, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, and that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, listen to what he says unto God here. Now, keep in mind, he's had the burning bush. He's seen some things that normal people haven't seen. He's on holy ground, man. His shoes are off, all right? And so, here he is before God, and God calls him. And Moses says this unto God. He says, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Do you think that old Moses had some bad memories back in Egypt? Oh, he did, man. He was running for his life. Moses had some experience. The man was in the wilderness, out on the backside of the desert, what, for 40 years? He was 40 years old. He knew about the Egyptians. He knew about his own people. And I think he knew a little bit about their stiff-heartedness, all right? He knew what he's dealing with here. And he said to God, who am I? You see, and Moses needed this because this is what Ben needs. I believe we all need it. Moses got here he was going to try to lead the children of Israel out beforehand. You remember that? But now he's humbled, 40 years of humbling. And now he's saying, I can't do it. I'm so insignificant. But God equips his call, doesn't he? You might be here tonight and you say, I'm facing this giant of a situation at work or at home or whatever it may be. Just plain life may look huge to you right now. Say, how am I going to handle it? Well, look what the Lord says to him. He says, verse 12, and he said, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee, that I've sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. He said, I'm going to be with you. And God, and folks, tonight he'll not leave you nor forsake you. He's with you. So whatever you're dealing with, we don't really have the excuse tonight. Well, we're insignificant. No, you're in Christ tonight if you know him. There's nothing insignificant about that. That's very significant about this day and time. And by the way, it's very significant in the spiritual realm that we cannot see. It's significant. The devils know it. The demons know it. Satan knows it. All right? You are a marked individual because they see the blood. All right? And so, yes, my friend, tonight, you are significant. And if God has a job for you to do, and he does, Christian, he does, right where you are in your daily situation and your responsibilities, whatever it is, let God have it. But then we come to verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say unto me, what is his name? Listen to this. Listen to what he says. What shall I say unto them? Oh, boy. Let me tell you something. When the Lord called me to preach the word of God, I just didn't have anything to say to anybody, but I sure wanted to get something off my chest. You know what I'm talking about? And I'll tell you what. I was standing there wondering, what am I going to say to them? I needed to learn a book. I still need to learn a book. That's nothing here like I know it. I need it. And by the way, this thing's big. You notice that? We need it every day. We need to be in it. You know what it says. And but anyway, he says, what do I say unto them? So the first he says, boy, who am I to do this? What am I going to say? What are you going to say to somebody that God has you to witness to? What are you going to say to somebody that's in need? What are you going to say to the person that you know something needs said here? But you know, you say, boy, I'm insignificant, I can't do it. And no. God will give you words. He'll give it to you. If you were to go ahead and say something. Sometimes we're not. Sometimes we are. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. God gave him what to say, and God will give you what to say when you are to say it. Now that's providing you're walking with him and you want him and you desire him. And again, so Moses here is a little bit he's concerned about what God's called him to do. And sometimes we get a little concerned about that too. Verse 15, and God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them. Here, God's given him what to say some more here. The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt, unto the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to my voice, and thou shalt come. Isn't that beautiful? God already gives them the results. They're going to hearken unto that now. We're going to do that. And thou shalt come, and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. This is Pharaoh. We know his heart's hardened, okay? We know it says God hardened his heart and also Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh's in bad shape, all right? And listen, God has ways to deal with hard hearts. You say, well, I can't deal with that guy. Well, yeah, you can when God Almighty is with you. You can deal with that guy, whatever that is. Listen, the biggest Harley Davidson motorcycle guy with the horn sticking out of his head, with a helmet on, with the beard down here, with rubber bands stuck in it. Listen, sometimes God's going to get you to talk to him about him. Okay? That's a fact. Well, who am I? Well, what am I going to say? Well, what if they don't believe me? We'll get to that in a little bit. You see? Well, it doesn't make any difference. God said, listen, I want you to do it. And he's bigger than that guy with the big horn sticking out of his, okay, out of his hard hat. So that's the thing. So anyway, where are we at here? The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Where are we at? Verse 18. The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will go in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. And Moses answered and said, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. Listen, these guys aren't going to believe me. And they're not going to. Don't we feel that way? But they're not going to believe what I'm saying unto them. That's the third excuse. He says, listen, they're not going to listen. And they're going to say, the Lord didn't appear to you. Who are you? What are they going to say to us? Nothing really happened to you. You're just corny. You're Christian crazy. And you know, the people throw that thing at you. I don't know they do or you. I know in my family it's just the way it is. I love them. I want to see them, the extended family. I want to see them to come to know the Lord. But they're always looking for somehow to blame you. And boy, that's tough. It's tough to stay blameless, all right? Because there's always something. The problem is none of us are blameless, really, when it comes down to it, all right? There's something they can nail us with. But you do what you can do. You trust the Lord Jesus, and you make things right if you made them wrong. All right, no doubt. But he said, "Listen, they won't believe me." What God say to him in verse 2? It says, "And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it down on the ground." And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, and that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, "Put now thine hand into thy bosom." And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, "Put thine hand back into thy bosom." And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it came to pass, and it shall come to pass, God tells him, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon dry land. Moses says, "Listen, they're not going to believe me." God says, "I'm going to equip you. I'm going to equip you." And I'll tell you what, Moses had that rod in his hand. I don't know that he felt any tingling in the old rod when he was before the people anyway. But there he was telling them about God and about what God said. And that took some faith, throw that thing down there. Okay, boys, what if it didn't do anything, you see? God equips us. Give him the Word of God. Live the Word of God before him. He's given us some equipment and some training. I say training. He's given us some equipment just simply as he called us as believers. And as we read the Bible and we're equipped in that way, and as we hear God's Word preached, we're equipped. None of us here tonight are ill-equipped to do what we're supposed to do. If we are, it's by our choice. Hey, here's a man that was honestly scared to death to lead how many thousands and thousands of people out of Egypt, and to go on and beyond that, and to take that kind of responsibility. Tremendous. Here's a guy having the same excuse as we have. All right, greatest leader in human history, I've heard some of the historians say, here with Moses. Yeah. And again, and look at verse 10. And Moses said, this is the last one here, folks. And Moses said unto the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent. I just can't talk right. You know, I'm not eloquent. I'm afraid to speak in front of people. Neither heretofore, for since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." So here he is. And now I know there's some folks, there's some men in Grace Baptist Church don't really want to get up here. You know, no, sir, I'd just rather not. But I'll tell you what, all right, we've got some men in Grace Baptist Church. We don't see them up here very often, but they can get up here. You say, "Well, I'm not eloquent." Friend, God equips the called. You say, "Well, I'm not called to preach." No, but you're a Christian. And the mature men of this church ought to be able to get behind this pulpit and give it to us. Yep. That's a fact. We ought to have something up our sleeve, so to speak, that we can give the group that's on our hearts, that's burning in us like a fire. And as far as I can tell, the men of Grace Baptist Church, and I wish they were all here, because I'd really, all of them, because there's more in this right here tonight, but I'll tell you, I'd like to say, hey, listen, you can do this. But yeah, but I'm not eloquent. I'm not a preacher. Yeah. Yep. He's not here tonight. Dean Smith always said that. God uses that man. And God will use any man that says, "Lord, I'll do it." But no. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? God says, listen, Moses, I made your mouth. I made you to do what I want you to do. He made you to do what he wants you to do. All right? Or who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go. Now just shut your mouth and get going, all right? Just go. And teach it. He says, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And then of course Moses, he comes along and says, oh my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Moses arguing with the Lord about this. I'm telling you, this guy had a time. But he was one of the most spiritual men in the Bible. Listen, folks, we struggle in our flesh. We're all a bunch of sheep. Just sheep. Dumb sheep. And Moses argued with him. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall say. Or I'm sorry, what ye shall do. Verse 16, and he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. In other words, Moses, you tell him what to say, and he'll say it. Moses gave that position of preaching up here. He's like, why? Because he's just like, I don't really want to deal with this. And he involved another man. Now, you folks know, in Exodus 33, the other man's the one that made a golden calf. Moses would have been just best to let God, folks, not just let that alone. Wouldn't it just be best just to go ahead and do what God wants us to do and just say, yes, Lord. So, the three excuses tonight, what was it? Insignificance was the one, listen, I can't do it. What am I going to say unto him? All right, that's the next one. Well, I don't have anything to say to them. The third one is, they won't believe me. All these insecurities we have in the things we face in life. And the fourth one is, I don't have the ability. Can't do it. Every one of them, a lie. Everyone. So let's bow for prayer, and then we'll go ahead and have a prayer letter here tonight. Father, I thank you tonight for your word. And God, I thank you for encouraging my heart this study here tonight. And I praise you, God, you equipped the called. And Lord, so many times we know we're not able, but you enable us. And I praise you. Oh, God, would you do a work in our local church here? And Father, thank you for these meetings this week. And even thank you for the liberty you even give me of late, Lord, just to just to pray, Lord, for your will to be done here and for you to do something with us. We are yours, and you are worthy for us to give you all of our lives. Would you do something with Grace Baptist Church, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.